Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and just a special day to honor mothers and also the ladies of our church and ministry. So what a wonderful day to do that. The elephant asked the hippo, why do mother kangaroos hate rainy days? Why do mother kangaroos hate rainy days? Well, the hippo said, I give up. Well, the elephant responded, because their kids have to play inside. Son asked mom, Mom, why is a computer so smart? Mother responded, because they have to listen to its motherboard. I think this may have been Teresa, I'm not sure, but for 2 solid hours, sat on the airplane talking to the individual next to her, telling this individual all about her grandchildren. And she even took her phone and showed all the pictures of the grandchildren and the videos and so on, and finally realized, oh my goodness, I have been talking all of this time about my kids. I've dominated the conversation. Certainly you have something that you want to say about my grandchildren, don't you? Moms can certainly relate to this. It's been said that cleaning the house with kids in the house is like brushing your teeth with Oreos. Ever heard of a job that requires no experience, provides no training, pays nothing, and you can't quit? That's motherhood. And oh, by the way, people's lives are on the line. And I'm just so blessed by the parents who committed themselves to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord as we celebrated here this morning. But so many here in this room, even watching or listening online, have committed themselves to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So very, very important. Mother's Day is not mandated or even mentioned in the Bible. It's a modern day idea established as we know it in 1905. So it's really not that old as a celebration. But it's biblical to honor moms. It's biblical to honor women. Many cultures view women as less than they deserve. Some cultures relegate women to the level of mere servants or even slaves. That's not what we ought to do. We ought to honor women, honor our mothers. And the Bible actually does that, viewing women as equals, created in the image of God, image bearers, differing in roles in the home and in the church, to be sure, but it's for the purpose of design and order. And one indication of the appropriateness and importance of honoring women in the home and in the church is that God mentions and highlights certain women in His Word. Today we want to highlight and learn from a specific woman mentioned in the book of Acts. So take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and you can look that up in your Bible or YouVersion. If you have YouVersion, go to events down in the corner. Look up First Baptist Church, Troy, Ohio, and it actually even has the outline there for you and all the verses looked up that we're going to be referencing. And as we look at this passage, we will be walking through a portion of Paul's second missionary journey. And so if we could have the map of the second missionary journey projected there. The writer is saying, so setting sail from Troas, verse 11, Acts 16, verse 11, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. As you look, I meant to have my laser pointer here, but at the top, the arrows there you have it. There's Troas, and then they went on to Samothrace, and then Neapolis, and then from there, it took about 10-mile hike to Philippi. And that's where our story will, our account will pick up there. From there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Again, Paul's missionary travels took him to this city of Philippi. It was a leading city of the district of Macedonia. If you remember Paul, he was wanting to minister in this area of Galatia, Asia Minor, and so on. And he was forbidden to do so. He wanted to go up into Bithynia and all. And there was what is often called the Macedonian call, where he saw a vision of come over here to Macedonia and minister. And that's what we have resulting in this text. Again, Philippi, 10 miles inland from Neapolis, was named after Philip, who was the father to Alexander the Great. And he's the one that founded this city. It was the terminus of what was called the Ignatian Way, which was a 500-mile road. Went from Philippi into the Roman Empire. And what's interesting about this is this wasn't the only Roman road. There were other Roman roads. And what's interesting about this is God used established roads to help spread the gospel. They didn't have to forge new ways. God's timing is perfect as to the spread of the gospel here. And by providence, God's providence, it was strategically used to further the gospel. Philippi was a strategic city of commerce in its day. The writer of Acts, Dr. Luke, points out that Paul and his missionary team remained in that city for some days. We don't know how long that was. It wasn't just for a day or two, but it was for a period of time. And on the Sabbath, his team went outside the city gate, to the riverside. The river, it was really a small river or stream called the Ganges River on the west side of the city. The text says, "We suppose there was a place of prayer." They may have heard of this from the people in the city. But sure enough, as they went out there, there were women at the river who had gathered to pray. Now, this is significant in that when Paul went into a new region or a new city, he would seek out a synagogue. That was a place where Jewish believers or Jewish individuals would meet. And and I believe he did that for a couple reasons. One, because there was a spiritual sensitivity to people attending a synagogue. But on the other hand, the gospel was to go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. No synagogue in the city of Philippi. And in order to have a synagogue, there had to be a certain amount of men who would get together and the families and start a synagogue. Evidently, not enough to do so. But the women were able to gather for prayer. And they did so, and they found out about this place by the river. And so Paul and his missionary team sat down, spoke to the women, verse 13 there, who had come together. One of those women's name was Lydia. Now Lydia, if we look at our map once again, was from Thyatira. If we can find Thyatira there on the map, just below Troas and Mysia. Thyatira, there's a city there. And she was from Thyatira. And the Asian province here, the capital, was Cilicia. Now, very interesting. Sardis. Thyatira and Sardis. Both of these cities are mentioned in the book of Revelation as two of the cities or churches that received letters to the seven churches. My point is that Lydia was not a native of Philippi, a native to Philippi, and yet is known as the first convert in Europe. Lydia was a seller of purple goods, indicates that she was an entrepreneur. She was a businesswoman, a salesperson at that. Purple was the commodity that was most often sold to the rich because it was very expensive. And the being from Thyatira had learned how to extract the purple dye from mollusks. It was a very involved process, and evidently she was a part of that. She knew of that. And because it was so involved, it was very expensive and most often sold to those who were rich. Very interestingly, she was a worshiper of God. There was obviously some spiritual sensitivity in her heart. Apparently, God had been working to draw her unto himself. Lydia, being a worshiper of God, was not a Jew, but simply a Gentile seeking to worship the true God. And again, the Jewish women were allowed to gather for prayer, spiritual activity. And by the way, this was the Sabbath, and Lydia was seeking. You know, God often does that. He works in individuals' hearts to draw them to himself. Been talked with some of the guys here that have come to Christ, and one in particular is saying, you know, the Lord was reeling me in. And now this individual was talking with someone else, and I said, about the gospel, I said, set the hook and reel them in. God works in hearts to draw individuals unto himself. And look at verse 14, the end of verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. This indicates that she surrendered to Jesus. And with the river right there, she was very shortly thereafter, if not immediately, baptized. And again, that's a good pattern. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Notice that her household was baptized along with her. This is indication, along with the fact that she was a seller of purple, that Lydia was fairly well off. Her household would have included any close relatives, but there's no indication of a husband. No mention of a husband here. In fact, later on in this chapter, verse 40, references her, Lydia's house, but not a husband. So it's good indication she probably wasn't married. But those in her household were baptized, so it was most probably servants. And Dr. Luke, the writer, points out that she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay, and she prevailed upon us. So on this Mother's Day, I thought it good to take a look at a lady from the Scriptures who obviously displayed qualities of a godly woman. So here's your take-home thought, and that is honor godly women and mothers. Honor godly women and mothers. A great day to do that. We're going to look at some of those qualities here as we see them in the text. And the first one is that we learn from Lydia is that she was a worshiper of God. She was a worshiper of God. Verse 14, we see this. She was a woman of prayer. She gathered with other ladies at the river to pray. Obviously, her and the prayers of other ladies were directed to the one true God. It wasn't a time of just getting together and talking about the family and talking about other things. I'm sure they did that to an extent. But it was a time to get together and connect with God through prayer. And I'm so blessed by our ladies here at FBC. We have ladies who pray. And in fact, there's the first Friday of the month, we have women of faith that gather on the first Friday of the month, and they meet up in the cafe, I understand, and they spend time together in fellowship. They have a focused devotional that helps them focus on matters of prayer, and then they spend time in prayer. And prayer is an indication of our dependence upon God. We individually, personally, men, women, children, we apart from God, we can do nothing. So it's essential that we cry out to God for his help. And what a blessing to know that that takes place concerning our ministry as well. Apart from God, we can do nothing. We need the power and work of God in and through our lives and in through our ministry to accomplish what God desires for us to accomplish. Prayer expresses our dependency upon him. She was a worshiper of God. Another quality we witness in Lydia is a spiritual interest. I've mentioned this already, but verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. It was a spiritual interest that could only be satisfied through the word of God. Obviously, Lydia had a spiritual interest. She sought the Lord. She paid attention to what she was being taught. She was a learner. She was a discerner. I am so blessed, again, that many here are so very attentive. And it's obvious, it's evident as you pay attention to what's being said or what's being taught, what's being preached. You pay attention to the music and the singing. You are part of that. And many take notes and are involved and engaged in the ministry of the word. That's so important. And then you continue even beyond Sunday. I'm blessed by some individuals say, you know, I've been praying for you and your ministry next Sunday, whenever that might be. And by the way, I've read the passage that you're anticipating preaching out of, and they're in anticipation of what God's going to do. And that is so important for all of us to be in anticipation of what God would do in our hearts and lives, and pray as he does that in the hearts and lives of those in attendance who are watching and listening. It's a work of God. And he opens our hearts. It's very interesting. Verse 14. We observe that she surrendered to Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Listen, it was the work of God in Lydia's life that drew her unto the Lord. She was seeking. The Lord was drawing. God was at work. And she responded. And so the question would be, how about you? Maybe you were invited or you felt obligated to go to church on Mother's Day or watching or listening. And maybe through that, God is using this time together to draw you unto himself. Salvation is a work of God. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. Salvation is a gift of God, not by works, so that we wouldn't boast. And just to understand that and encourage you that if God is working in your heart, respond. As we think of this, this is why Jesus died on the cross, because we're all sinners. And we deserve eternal death, separated from God. But he provided that salvation through his death, the death of his son, the Lord Jesus, his burial and resurrection. And when you come to Jesus, that's what happens in your heart in life, is that you are then raised to new life because of your faith in him. And by the way, he works in your heart to provide the faith. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And my prayer is, Lord, if you're here and you are not certain of your salvation, that God would work in your heart to draw you unto him, even today. How awesome would it be to see individuals celebrating Mother's Day be born again into the family of God. Lydia had a spiritual interest. We can learn from that. Here's another quality we observe in Lydia, and that is she was as her obedience to baptism. Again, verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, the gospel. In verse 15, and after she was baptized and her household as well. Baptism, then, is an outward expression of that which has taken place in one's heart. You surrender to Jesus, you repent of your sin, realizing that he died on the cross for your sin. You ask him to save you, to come into your life, to provide that salvation for you, to save your soul. And then baptism is an outward expression of that which has taken place in your heart. I like the pattern here. If not immediately, very shortly after, she was baptized in the river. There was at least enough water there that she could get baptized, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, as an indication of what had taken place in her heart. She was identifying with Jesus. I want everybody out here to know that I have trusted Jesus as Savior and identify with him as my Lord and Savior through his death, because I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we have testimonies all around here, individuals who've come to Jesus and have followed in obedience to baptism as a testimony to everybody. I want you to know I'm saved. And we have two more actually next week, and we're looking forward to that. So come and enjoy that time of celebration as we have two baptisms next Sunday of individuals who have come to Jesus. They're going to share their testimony, and then we, as a result, they become a member of the church and fellowship here. And so maybe, as you think about this, maybe you've been in attendance here and you say, you know what, I want to identify with Jesus. I want everybody to know I'm saved. And baptism is a great way for people to know that and to identify with the membership here at FBC. So there was obedience to baptism. Here's another quality we also note in Lydia, and that is spiritual influence. Verse 15. After she was baptized and her household as well, she had an influence on the people around her. Whether it was family, we don't know, or her servants, but it was her household. Again, she's the first convert in Europe. This opened the door for the gospel to go on into the rest of Europe. First convert. Europe then becomes the hub of spiritual activity for centuries to come. And ultimately, the gospel out of Europe goes to the entire world. And she was the first European convert. So from its humble beginnings in Philippi, the gospel spread throughout the region and ultimately the entire world. How many women, how many mothers have had an influence on their children or others, or even others' children, for the gospel and the cause of Christ? It was my mom that led me to Jesus. I remember that day. I was just a child. I remember that day well. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but mom was ironing, and I was sitting there at the coffee table, and I was coloring a picture of the disciples, the boat, and the sail on the side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I remember that. And I surrendered to Jesus, asked Jesus to be my Savior. And my mom walked me through that, and she led me to the Lord. Many of you have the same kind of testimony. And not only mothers, but how about other ladies who have taught in many of our Sunday school classes, vacation Bible school, backyard Bible clubs, whatever it may be. We've had women who have had an influence on us for the cause of Christ and the gospel and the cause of Christ. And I think, it's a quality to honor. And I want to thank not just mom, but I want to thank all those of you ladies who are involved in discipling children. I apologize for the emotions of the morning. But again, upon reading this book It's a book by John MacArthur called The War on Children, and I highly recommend it. It just tells you what's going on in our culture in regards to families, and speaks about children, speaks to fathers, speaks to mothers, and just very pertinent to our culture right now. As I shared with the couples and the families, the enemy is out to steal your children, to take your children away. You can see this in the culture. Statements like "your children are not yours; they're the government's. You need other people to help you to bring your children up," and so on. And the worldly and ungodly influence that the world, the flesh and the devil is having upon our children desires to steal them away. They're God's children. And we need to realize that we're in a war, we're in a battle. And we need to look at this as a fight for the lives, hearts and lives of our children. Just again, honor those who have had an influence, an impact on our lives for the cause of Christ and the gospel. We also see that Lydia was judged to be faithful to the Lord. Verse 15, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord," in other words, if you believe that my salvation is genuine. Obviously, there was no question as to the sincerity of Lydia's faith. Others could recognize that her faith was genuine. There was no pretense about it. It wasn't fake. It wasn't syrupy. She was genuine. And what a blessing to know that, again, that so many women here have a sincere faith. You see that they are who they are here, they are that way in the home. And it's why? Because their faith is sincere. They are who they say they are in Christ. And that's an admirable quality that we should celebrate. We also see that Lydia responded to her salvation with a willingness to serve. Verse 15, she urged us. She urged us. It's interesting. That word is the same word that's used concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He's the paraclete, the one who called alongside to help. She came alongside us to help us, urging us to stay with her. "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. In other words, we gave in. She had evidently the gift of hospitality. She impressed upon them her open door, welcomed them to stay. And again, this wasn't just for coffee or lunch. This was for a time. And we're talking about a missionary team. We know it was at least Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Again, interesting in the text, Luke starts talking in the second person, we, or third person, right? We went to Philippi. And so there were at least those four, and there were probably others that were traveling with them. And she pressed them to stay with her. And it wasn't just words, not just a kindness. But here is an individual who would take no for an answer. She wanted to serve. She wanted to minister. And again, I see that so often through the ministry of FBC. So many individuals, so many ladies who are willing to serve in so many significant ways. And we honor you and thank you for your work and ministry here. It's been said, I found this quote, "We often take for granted the things that most deserve our gratitude." We often take for granted the things that most deserve our gratitude. And I think that oftentimes could be said of our mothers, that we not take them for granted and thank them for who they are. So let's honor godly mothers, godly women in our lives and ministry, and may the likes of Lydia increase through our ministry and even beyond, to the glory of God. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time in your word to learn of an individual whom we can learn from. And may we take these qualities to heart, that we would honor mothers, honor women who exemplify these qualities, but then we too would take these qualities to heart and change where we need to change and grow to your glory in them. And again, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you, that they would surrender to you this day. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if we can be of help, if we can be an encouragement to you concerning the gospel, your eternal salvation is at stake there, or your walk with Christ, the need to grow, I'll be down front here. Be more than happy to talk with you and have someone take you aside and pray with you. After the service, I'll be in the entryway here and be willing to talk with you there as well. Father, work in hearts, draw hearts unto yourself, to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.